October 10, 1927. How the divine will is multiple in its acts, though it is one. How it remains conceived in one who lives in it. How the earth is not exile for one who lives in the divine will, but it is exile for one who does not do the will of God. My poor mind continues to follow the acts of Jesus, done for love of us. And going back to his conception, I offered all my acts done in his divine volition, together with all my being, for the honor of his conception. In the meantime, a light came out of me which went to place itself in the womb of the Immaculate Queen in the act in which she conceived. And my always lovable Jesus told me, "My daughter, my divine will is multiple in its acts, but it disperses none of them. The unity it possesses in its incessant act maintain the unity in its acts as if they were one alone, while they are innumerable, and it preserves in its acts the act of doing it incessantly, always, always, without ever ceasing doing it, to preserve it always new, fresh, beautiful, and ready to give it to whomever might want it. But while it gives it, it does not detach it from my will, because my will is light, and light has the virtue of giving itself, of diffusing, of expanding. One can take of it as much as one wants, but it does not separate, it is indivisible by the virtue and the nature which the light possesses. See, the sun also possesses this virtue. Suppose you had your room closed with shutters, there is no light in it. But if you open the doors, the light fills your room. Has it perhaps detached from the sun? No, no, but it has extended and expanded without detaching a single drop from its source. However, even though the light did not separate, you have possessed the good of the light as if it were your own. My divine will is more than sun. It gives itself to all, but it disperses not one comma of its acts. Now, my fiat keeps my conception always in it. And you have seen how the light of its acts done and you extended even into the womb of the celestial sovereign lady, to have your highest good, Jesus, conceived upon it. It is the unity of its acts that, centralizing them all at one point, forms its portents and my very life. And so I remain conceived in the acts of my divine volition, in those of my divine mama, and in your acts done in it. Even more, I tell you that I was conceived continuously in all the acts of those who will possess the kingdom of my will. Because one who possesses it receives all the fullness of the goods of my life. In fact, with only their acts done in it, they concur in my conception and in the carrying out of my whole life, therefore it is right that they receive all the goods it contains. On the other hand, one who does not possess my will, takes just the crumbs of the goods I brought upon earth with so much love, and this is why one can see creatures emaciated and good, light-hearted, inconstant, all eyes and all heart for passing things, because, since the source of the light of my eternal will is missing in them, they do not nourish themselves with my life. What is the wonder, then, if they bear palness on their faces, if they feel themselves dying to true good? And if they do anything at all, everything is strained and without light, and they grow so deformed as to arouse pity. After this, I felt oppressed and I felt all the weight of my long and hard exile. And I lamented to my adorable Jesus because on top of the hard martyrdom of his privations he adds my separation from my celestial fatherland. And I said to him, "How can you not have compassion for me? How can this be? You leave me alone without you, pray only to your lovable will? How can you leave me on this earth of exile for so long?" But while I was pouring out my sorrow, Jesus, my life, my all, moved in my interior and told me, "My daughter, the earth is exile for one who does not do my will and does not live in it. But for one who lives in it, it cannot be called exile, but one step of distance, such that, when one least expects it, once that step is made, she will find herself in the celestial fatherland, not like one who comes from the exile, who knows nothing about it, but like one who already knew that it belonged to her, and who knew the beauty, the sumptuousness, the happiness of the eternal city." My will could not tolerate keeping one who lives not in the condition of an exiled one. In order to do this, it should change its nature and the regime which exists between one who lives in it in heaven and one who lives in it on earth, which it cannot do, nor does it want to. Is it perhaps called exile when one goes out of his home to move just one step away from it? Certainly not. Or, can it be called exile if one goes to a town within his own homeland? My daughter, exile means circumference of space without being able to go out, stripping of goods, hard labor with no way of getting out of it. My divine will does not know how to do these things, and, you can see, you can touch with your own hand how your soul has no circumference of place or space, but brings herself everywhere, into the sun, into the heavens, and a few times you have even made your little escapes up there into the celestial regions. And how many times have you not immersed yourself into the very endless light of your Creator? Where are not free to go? Into the sea, within the air, everywhere. Even more, my will itself delights in it, it pushes you, it gives you the flight to go around everywhere. It would feel unhappy to see one who lives in it without freedom and as though hampered. Instead of stripping, my divine fiat fills the soul up to the brim with its goods. It gives her dominion over herself, it converts passions into virtues, weaknesses into divine strength. It gives innumerable joys and happinesses, it gives by grace that which it is by nature, firmness, perennial unshakability. The exile is for one who is tyrannized by passions, without dominion over himself, without being able to move around within his God. And if he thinks of some good, it is mixed with and surrounded by darkness. So, the virtues of the poor exiled one are strained, inconstant. He is a slave to his own miseries, and this renders him unhappy. All the opposite for one who lives in my divine will. Nor would I have tolerated keeping you alive for so long knowing that you were in exile. Your Jesus loves you too much, how could he have borne keeping you exiled? And if I tolerate, it is because I know that, as little daughter of my will keeps you not in the conditions of exile, but in its own properties, in its light, free and dominating, with the only purpose of forming its kingdom within yourself and of impetrating it for the human family. And you should be happy about this, knowing that all the desires, the yearnings, the sighs of your Jesus are for the kingdom of my will upon earth. My complete glory I expect from the fiat voluntas tua on earth as it is in heaven.